At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at bragworthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
James, Knicks fans are out of control, man.
Rightly, they should be.
No, we wouldn't know, but they look like they're having.
We wouldn't know nothing about that.
That's what winning looks like, Damian, yeah. I hate to tell you.
Well, I don't know. I've never seen it. Like, or at least it's been a very long
Doesn't
time.
Doesn't matter how many titles Kenny thinks the Niners have. They haven't had one in a while.
I don't know how many they have. I'm talking about what they I always talk about what they should have. There's a difference.
I know.
Unfortunately, I know what they have. Damn it.
It would be fun, though, if the Knicks won the title. Like, I think that would be one. I actually think any of these four teams, like there's cool stories with all four teams, you know, that have left. But in terms of just vibes, New York would be crazy. The Knicks winning the title would be crazy. Besides basketball. Yeah.
If I were like grading them, I would say it's probably a 50-50 shot that OKC wins, like a 25% chance that the Knicks win, and then I'd go like 15% chance of Indiana and 10% chance of Minnesota. Mm. That's just my own personal, but yeah.
Okay.
I don't think you're terribly off with that at all either. I think the Thunder got to be the favorite to win. I don't know about the Vegas aspect of it, but they got to be the favorite to win it all right now.
I think a little higher of the Pacers, I think, than James does. Maybe than you do, too.
Well, James put them third ahead of Minnesota. I think Minnesota better than Indiana.
Well, yeah, but what was your percentage for the Indiana?
Like 15 and 10 for Minnesota.
Mm-hmm. I guess that's not bad since you went with such a high percentage for Oklahoma City. Mm-hmm. Did that win yesterday, the way that they beat Denver, did that have you feeling a certain type of way about the Thunder?
Yeah, I mean, we've been watching like the organic growth of players and teams throughout this playoffs, and I think it's been probably the most like growth-oriented playoffs that we've seen in a long time, where, you know, the old veterans are sort of letting go of the leash and the new guys are coming through and this is, we're watching, you know, players like Amen Thompson just take off, you know, Cade Cunningham take off in the playoffs, even if they only get a round or they only get seven games, whatever it is. But then we're seeing teams that are galvanizing. And I thought we saw a fully galvanized, this is who we can be moment from the Thunder, and I think every other team in the league should be shaking, because that's not good. That team not only could be good like and win everything this year, but they could go on a 3-4-5 year stretch here where it's just them mopping the floor with the rest of the league. So I was super, super impressed, just because it was just one group after another that dominated defensively. And that's where, I mean, to watch them be so good defensively and to completely take Jokic out of his game take, you know, Denver couldn't even break through the 3-point line for most of the night. It was just like a complete master course in how to play defense at the NBA level.
I'll ask you guys a question on that respect, because I was listening to something earlier. Is that even possible anymore, what James talked about? Like a 2-3 year run. The Celtics lost on Friday. 7 straight year of a new champion. And the way we grew up was with dynasties and all this other. That's another conversation for another day of what you like better. I guess we can talk about that tomorrow. But every team, I think, has some issues. They all got something that they just, that can be exposed with the right matchup. So Boston was probably the last team we looked at and was like, yo, these guys, they about to go. Like, they got the one, and now they about to go crazy for about 3-4 years. And even before the Tatum injury, they were on the brink. Do you guys think it's even possible to have that type of run in the NBA nowadays?
I think it is. I think there's, you know, teams age out, right? We're watching the Golden State Warriors a couple of years ago age out of being a contender, right? They're still a good basketball team, but they're not a contender. And for them to become a contender, I don't even know what that would look like. And I think when you look at OKC and how, you know, what their oldest player is probably what, like Alex Caruso? I don't even know, probably. And even like Shea is what, 27? Like, all of their players, not only are they young, but they have 13 players under contract right now for next season, and they're under the luxury tax. Like, this team is not just built to win today. They're built to win for years to come. We talked about this earlier. Like, they still have Nikola Topic, who's like top-tier player in this year's draft, who fell because he blew out his knee, and they're sitting there at 12 like, hey, we got nothing better to do. Let's go ahead and take him. I mean, that team is so stacked. They have so many first-round picks still. You're still looking at like a handful of extra first-round picks over the next 7 years, in addition to their own. And I think that they, if they feel the need to go out and add a big piece, they have the talent to do it. They have the, you know, the war chest to do it. But for me, like, I think you can still have a dynasty in basketball. And like, to be honest with you, the Celtics, like the Tatum and Brown thing is one thing, you know, the injuries that they sustained, but a couple of their guys look like they got old. A couple of their guys just look like they weren't nearly as good as they were the year before. And while they won a lot of games, you know, I don't think Jrue Holiday was nearly as effective. Kristaps Porzingis kept getting illnesses and he didn't look nearly as effective. And Al Horford, you know, again, like you had a team that was predicated on a really nice young core supplemented with very, very strong, seasoned, you know, championship caliber veterans. Well, that's not what OKC is. If they win this thing now, like, it's a bunch of 22-year-olds like having a great time, and like maybe Houston catches them, maybe San Antonio catches them, but they're going to be really difficult to stop here for the next couple of years.
And so I'll ask a question to you, Casey. Does a run, like James talking about, you know, they could be on a run the next, you know, 3-4 years, whatever it may be, does that only constitute winning a championship, or does that constitute, you know, we'll say competing for a championship as one of the final four teams?
Yeah, I think they definitely will be able to do that. Yeah. I when James had said, I took it more so as winning the championship. And I just don't know. San Antonio, we talked about them on Friday. I mean, they are lurking.
Well, Kenny said it's over.
That man went beyond it.
It's over, and only Rudy Gobert can save us.
Ironically, there was one other person I was like, he might be able to get with him. I said Chet might be. Chet.
Yeah.
You know, might be able to hoop with him a little bit. Yeah. But they're going on. And the things that, like, it's not the same team dynamic. It's not built the same way. But 12 months ago, we were saying a lot of the same things about the Celtics. Now, they aged out. They got old real quick or whatever. But 12 months ago, it was like, oh, they got over the hump. What are they about to do for the next 3 years? And a lot of things happen, and now that's in limbo a little bit. I think OKC's real good. Like I said, I think they're the favorite to win it this year. But I think Minnesota's going to win that series. I'm picking Minnesota to win.
Hmm.
Mm. I'm not doing that. You think all
I'm
this,
not either.
But of course I'm a hater, so it's fine. They still got to prove it to me, guys. They still haven't proved it to me. You know, we could have the dynasty versus parity conversation. You know, as you said, we could have that conversation tomorrow. But is, like I've been mentioning throughout the day, Hammer, this conference finals is littered with like young stars. There's no Steph. There's no LeBron. They've been the faces of the league now for well over a decade and some change for LeBron, 2 decades for LeBron. But you got Ant, Tyrese, you got, you know, Shea, you got Jalen, you got Kat, you got a dope New York Knicks team, you got a gritty Minnesota team, you got an exciting Indiana team, you got a young OKC team. It feels like there's a lot of really cool storylines for basketball fans. Do you think that will translate to the people who are used to seeing Steph and LeBron in the finals or heritage franchises like the Celtics or the Lakers? Do you think this, the new hotness, do you think that'll translate to, we'll say, the casual basketball fan or casual
sports
fan?
I hope it does because, you know what, like, I kind of got sick of the super team like a decade ago. You know, these teams that just like assemble these monstrous, incredible teams. And I think if you look at the final four here, there's only one of them that you could even sort of look at and say it's kind of a super team, and that would be the Knicks. You know, like the rest of them are either, you know, like a savvy trade here and there or a really, really good group of draft picks. You know, it just doesn't feel like any of them have that weirdness to them that someone went out and just, you know, bought all the best players and they're going to win. Like going out and getting OG Anunoby and going out and getting Mikal Bridges, like those are big, big moves. But those guys aren't even all-stars, right? Mm-hmm. They're really close. They're really, really good players. And man, they would change the direction completely of the Sacramento Kings. But there isn't one team that's just, you know, if there is one team that's based around one superstar, it's OKC. But even that's not who their identity is. Their identity is to play crazy defense and to, you know, just keep doing line changes and giving you like every 6'6" to 6'8" dude in the league, it feels like they've got an answer for. So like I like the way that these teams are built, and that's why I think that they'll resonate better.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
At MLBShop.com, you can get all the latest officially licensed merchandise for you and your family. But if you really want to level up your game, you can grab something for your dog walker, your Pilates instructor, your swim coach, your neighbor, your accountant, your gardener, your best friend, your bandmate, your boss, your kid's teacher, your mailman. Visit MLBShop.com and stock up on officially licensed on-field merchandise from your favorite teams.
Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Than like the super team, because the super team idea is cool, but again, like, how many times do we need to see that? How many times do you need to see LeBron and Steph play in the finals? And, you know, 5 years in a row of it wasn't good for the league at all. So I kind of like this. I think it's just a more authentic way to build teams. And again, it takes a little bit here and there to get you over the hump. You know, it takes a big move to go get a Cat or, you know, to go get, you know, a Rudy Gobert that you mortgage your future for. But it's hard to look at those moves now, even the Gobert move, which Tim Connelly was roasted for. It's hard to look at that move and say, hey, he didn't do right. Here they are, you know, in the Western Conference Finals for a second straight year. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I like the way that some of these teams are built.
And he's going to save us against Wimby.
Hopefully. I'll hopefully save Ant-Man. That's what I'm concerned about. If he if Rudy goes anywhere else, I don't care if he wins or not. I just need Ant-Man. Save Ant-Man. You know,
yeah.
One of the things about that, I don't know, to answer your question, Dame, if it's going to resonate with the general public. Mm-hmm. I just don't know. So I remember Jeff Teague talking about this before the Pacers and Cavs series started. And he was like, I think I talked about it on the show, but he was like, man, this series is going to be dope. He's like, I don't know if people really going to care that much. Mm-hmm. Like, no, these are two good basketball teams, but don't nobody get 2K and be like, let's play Pacers versus Cavs.
Right.
Like, nobody, that's a different conversation and another level of resonating with the public that I don't know if any, you got Ant-Man and you got the Knicks. I don't know if OKC resonates like that. I'm pretty sure Indiana doesn't resonate like that. So basketball-wise, people who like basketball, like, it'll be great. Like, we have no problems with it. But as far as the general public, I don't know if these guys will. I think Ant will and the New York Knicks will. I don't know if the other two will.
I think this is one of those moments, though, where, like, sort of the Band-Aid's ripped off. Like, all the stars, the quote-unquote superstars from yesteryear, they're all gone. And so, like, look, if you're a basketball fan, you're going to have to watch. And this is who's made it. This is the best of the best this season. And I don't think there's anything wrong with it being a team from Indiana or a team from Minnesota. Like, it's fun. This is what you should want. You should want super, super high-level basketball where you have no idea what the outcome of the games are going to be. You know, I can think that OKC is better than everybody else, but that doesn't mean that Kenny does. He certainly thinks that Minnesota's going to win. And like, this is one of those years where, again, it's almost like all the names on the back of the jerseys don't matter anymore because it's not your superstars. And I'm here for it. I think it's really, really good for the sport.
Who do you think? Well, instead of saying who do you think, let's just start with Denver. Denver probably had no business being in that series 7 games. Like, it's, you know, it was just a testament to Jokic. Really, that starting five, you know, getting performances, probably a testament to a certain degree to David Adelman and those guys for having them ready to play under what was really an interesting end to their regular season. What do you think they have to do to kind of regroup and put themselves back in position to compete at level against a Western Conference that seems to be getting better very literally by the second?
I don't know how they recover. it's one of the toughest things, because we went through and we were with Kyle earlier on the Insiders. We were looking at their salary is just the worst. Like, they've got two $50 million players, and it's really, really difficult to compete when you pay a non-all-star $50 million a year, like they do with Murray. Mm-hmm. And then on top of that, you've got $40 million a year for Michael Porter Jr. And then Aaron Gordon has an extension that's about to kick in. Like, that team is a mess financially, and they have been for a couple of years. And, you know, they're going to start early in the offseason, as early as they can, trying to dump players like Zeke and Najee and stuff like that, just to get to save some money. But they're already at like $203.5 million, and no Westbrook, no DeAndre Jordan. You know, they're already like, they're looking at the second apron almost assuredly. And there's very few ways to get under that unless they can find a taker for, again, Michael Porter Jr.'s salary or Aaron Gordon's salary. If I'm the Kings, I would take Aaron Gordon with no problems, right? He's got a pretty light number this year and I think next, but then it jumps up to 35, 40 million, something like that. But for right now, like, it's a pretty reasonable deal. I wouldn't touch the Michael Porter Jr. contract at all. Mm. And you're talking about, I guess it's 2 years and roughly $80 million, but that's a player who is a ticking time bomb, and he has been since he came in the league. And, you know, eventually somebody's going to get stuck holding the bag, and you don't want it to be you. And even if you look at Denver, the reason why they would trade a relatively young player who's still very productive is, number one, he bombed out in the playoffs, but number two, like, he had three back surgeries before he's 21, and they know as well as everybody else in the league, like, it's only a matter of time. You're hoping that you can get the next 2 years out of him, but like, thinking that you're going to have him as a high level player into his early and to mid 30s just isn't going to happen.
So you think we've seen the end of Denver as we know it? A championship contender type team?
You think so, but Jokic is so good. Like, they're going to have to find cheap options, you know, and they've done that the last couple of years where they've done a good job of developing guys like Christian Brown and even Watson to a certain extent, but they're going to need more. You know, they're going to have to get lucky with a few back into the draft guys or like low level free agents to develop into something else.
Funny thing, you look at the teams that were like recently eliminated. Boston clearly has the easiest road back to being a championship contender, but they also have one of the more interesting off seasons coming up where no one's exactly sure what they're going to do. And there's all this talk about the change in ownership and the shedding salary. And now you've got the really unfortunate, you know, dynamic of Jason Tatum, you know, tearing his Achilles and being out for the year. If I'm a Celtics fan, I'm looking at that multiple ways. Jalen Cooks for an entire year, you see what that looks like. Or you still have the potential of being unwilling to pay that massive, you know, payroll that you have, not believing you can win a championship without Jason Tatum, and a whole offseason where you're just like, you know, you're Brad Stevens in that entire front office. You got to go in with like a very scripted plan as to what you're going to do.
Real quick.
Winging it ain't going to work. And if you do wing it, it's going to be very expensive.
Yeah, super expensive. One of the most expensive
right
contracts the league has ever seen, or salary caps the league has
one
ever
of
seen.
The most expensive improvs you've ever seen would be the Celtics next year.
Do you guys think that there is a sense or a train of thought that Jaylen Brown's stock may never be higher than what it is right now? Because people haven't seen him by himself.
Sure.
And they still think that by himself he can be a guy, and he may very well. But if you have him by himself next year and it doesn't look as impressive if he's like the number one guy, then the stock drops. And why don't you just take a chance and move on him right now? Because people look at him, yeah, he could be a number one for a really good team. Maybe that's how people look at him, and they're willing to give you number one type compensation in return, even though they haven't ever really seen it on that level.
If you guys were Houston, what would you give up for Jaylen Brown? Would you go for Jaylen Brown?
Yeah, I would if I were Houston, just because I know he's a lot. Well, I mean, you could save a lot of money from going him, dealing him for Jalen Green and then picking up a couple other young players in the transaction. I don't think that, you know, it would hurt them for sure. But, you know, it's possible they could also grow and develop Jalen Green where, you know, the Rockets maybe can't because they've got too many young players.
They still got a situation. They could give up a very reasonable trade package and once again still not give up everything they have. It could be like they could be Van Fleet to make the contracts work, Jalen Green, and one of these first round pick, the Suns first round pick this year or next year too, and they still would have in a separate deal Jabari Smith, their own pick, future pick Reed Shepherd. They'd still have like three or four different assets they could still move, but and still they'd be able to add Jaylen Brown to that group already. I would really look into that if I was Houston.
I think the biggest question for Boston is like, is there another player? Because Horford's contract falls off the books this year, so he's a free agent this summer. But they're at $223 million going into the summer. And that's without Cornette and Horford. Can they move a Derek White? I mean, Derek White, they're on the hook for, and again, talking about Kings here, I mean, they owe Derek White $28 million, $30.3 million, $32.6 million, and $33.8 million over the next 4 years. And Derek White's 31, well, he's 30 years old. But, you know, he's got a game that probably, well, he's almost 31. He's got a game that will probably age well. And, you know, he's also a great defender and a big guard. I mean, that's a player like, if I'm the Kings, I'm sniffing around saying, hey, you know, would you take a DeMar DeRozan, you know, and throw in a Devin Carter or someone and move for Derek White, where you instantly put him in your backcourt alongside Zach LaVine, and he's the type of support piece that the Kings could really go for, you know, somebody who's strong, and it would save them so much money down the road. They could find somebody else to take.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, It's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
MLB.tv is home to baseball's biggest stars. Watch every out-of-market game, live or on demand.
He got it! This is unbelievable!
Plus, you'll get 24/7 access to MLB Network. Stream every big pitch.
He struck him out!
Every home run.
Gone!
Everything baseball. All season long on MLB.tv. Start a free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
On Devin Carter's contract, they might even be able to find someone to take on DeMar DeRozan's contract in a deal like that. And you're not going to have to give up a ton as the Kings to help them because of the money. I definitely think that there are ways in which the Kings could probably get in on this conversation. It just wouldn't be for Jaylen Brown, or it wouldn't be for, you know, Jason Tatum, but you could help them in a certain way.
I don't think I had thought about them moving Derek White. I think I always go to like Jaylen and then maybe some of like the other pieces. I don't really think I've ever thought about them moving Derek White. That's kind of fascinating. He feels so integral to what they do. But again, what direction are you going if you're the Boston Celtics?
I think you start with Drew and Porzingis first too.
This injury changed everything. It changed a lot, I should say.
You think so?
Yeah, because now you're looking at wasting a season pretty much, potentially.
Yeah, that, and like, who's going to take on Drew Holiday's contract? I mean, maybe the Kings would, but
I was going to say,
you're looking at 32, 35, and 37 million over the next 3 years, and the dude is about to turn 35. Mm. Like, nope. I would, if that's what you're going to, you might as well just sit on the DeMar DeRozan contract in that situation, because then at least you'd get the opportunity to, you know, have salary cap space at some point. Like, that's a really long 3 years for a 35-year-old.
All right. James hates Drew Holiday. We'll come back. We'll see.
I love Drew Holiday, but
we'll see if we can get James to soften up on some of our trade proposals here. And we'll talk about, because I guess it's official now, the return of Bobby Jackson, what that means for Doug Christie, this coaching staff, and this organization. That's all ahead with our insider from the insiders. It's our man James Hamm here with Dillon and KC on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320. I really want to hear the end of this story, James. So you got to tell it. Like, you asked about Cameo. It is Cameo, right? Yeah, that's the name of it.
I believe it's Cameo. So Kyle said, "Hey, I think I'm going to go on Cameo and just get a whole bunch of people to do, you know, you're listening to the insiders. This is so and so." So he picks out randomly John Stamos. He said, "I'm going to say this is John Stamos from Full House," and which is hilarious. And I said, "Okay, well, the first official concert I ever went to was when I was young. I went to the Beach Boys concert." And John Stamos filled in as a drummer because Dennis Wilson had died in 1983. He drowned, right? Okay. So then Kyle pops off with this randomness. He goes, "Have you ever read the story about the Beach Boys and Charles Manson?" And I'm like, "No." Somehow the Beach Boys and Charles Manson started hanging out before he started killing people or having people killed. And they became really good friends. And even there's a time where Charles Manson lived with Dennis Wilson, the drummer for the Beach Boys and the brother of the lead singer of the Beach Boys. And of course, we got to this weird point where it's like, well, how did he drown Dennis Wilson? And he had drowned like 3 years earlier. He had thrown his ex-wife's belongings into the overboard off his boat in the marina, like Marina Del Rey or something. He got drunk one day and decided to dive to the bottom and go find the stuff, and he never came back up. He drowned. So.
Wow. Hey, there was just like no rules back then, huh?
So we went down this weird rabbit hole of John Stamos to the Beach Boys, to the Beach Boys hanging out with Charles Manson, to why the Beach Boys had why the Beach Boys had John Stamos drumming. And that's because Dennis Wilson had drowned trying to recover some merchandise that he had thrown in. Yeah.
So,
how do they, how, just the whole, like, how, yeah, everyone connecting,
like, no, what I'm trying to figure out.
When hanging out with Charles Manson, yeah, I'm kind of stuck, like, on that one.
You can't really live that down, right? Like, if they, you did, hung, if you, how, do, how, like, if, know, you hang out with Charles Manson, how do you just get over that?
Yeah, like, I had a 12-pack with Charles Manson once. It was a good time. We had a couple beers.
But, like, that's the thing. It doesn't sound like it, they hung out with him once.
Oh, yeah, they were buddies.
Like, now, that was,
no, to their credit, this was before he was Charles Manson.
He wrote three of their songs, you said?
He wrote one of their songs. Yes.
Now, this was,
imagine,
before
if
he
Charles
was the man
Manson
that we knew,
wrote Wipeout. Oh, man.
Oh, man. Oh, no.
Yeah, that's, there's a lot going on there.
Charles
there's
Manson.
There's a lot going
American
on.
American criminal, cult leader, and musician.
Friend of the Beach Boys.
That's what the Wikipedia says.
Oh, my goodness. So random.
Now, this was, this allegedly was before he became the Charles Manson that we know. Correct?
Or was, yeah, before he had his cult members go kill, go kidnap, and then kill people.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, John Stamos, he would just be Uncle Jesse.
Now we can tie, yeah, this all back together because apparently Charles Manson said he felt guided by his interpretation of the Beatles lyrics.
Mm.
So this goes back to the Beatles, who you just mentioned, and I can't remember why. Oh,
they
James
signed,
Taylor.
Yeah.
The Beatles.
Yeah.
There we go. Bring it full circle for everybody who's watching
there it
the
is
show.
Yep.
Yeah, that's just all crazy. Wow. That is wild.
Charles Manson's actual last name? Is Maddox.
Why'd he change his name?
No relation to Greg?
I don't know. I don't have an answer, and he's not around to ask him anymore, pal,
no,
so
I
can't
I
help.
Would ask him.
I cannot help. Well, there you have it. Deep dive into Charles Manson. Wasn't banking on it today, but yet here we are. How do you segue from Charles Manson to Bobby Jackson? Not sure, but we got to do it.
We're going to try.
We've got to do it. Maybe Charles Manson was the sixth man of the Beach Boys. Who knows? I'm not sure. I'm not sure. But in any event, our sixth man is back, and that's Bobby Jackson. It's the best I could do, folks. Sean reported this. Your buddy over on the Kings Beat reported this weeks ago, but I guess it's being made official now. It's now tied to his agent, so you know it's real. I'm sure we went over this weeks ago, but we can go over it again because there's not a lot of Kings news happening. This coaching staff for Doug Christie starting to get put together. Certainly appears Bobby will be on the, you know, front lines next to Mike Woodson and Doug Christie. What does Bobby bring to Doug's coaching staff besides a familiar face?
Okay, so I think, like, first of all, Bobby, if anyone knows him, he brings vibes. Like, he's
oh,
a cool
absolutely
dude. He's funny. He's laid back. He's very sarcastic. And I think he connects with players really well. He worked his way up from a player development coach to an assistant coach to the head coach of the G League Stockton Kings, where they I think they finished in first place with him and were very good with him. And then when an opportunity came for him to move to another location, he joined Nick Nurse's staff and with the 76ers alongside Brian Gates, who's been at least a two-time Sacramento Kings assistant. And I would not hate to see Brian Gates as a three-time Sacramento Kings assistant. But I also think it's interesting because Nick Nurse, who I think is a very good coach, he's kind of run into some, you know, craziness with their roster and injuries and everything there in Philly. But he's also a guy who came up through the G League and, you know, earned his way to the league by going to the G League. And he saw that with Bobby, Bobby's talked about this, how he was excited to go join Nick Nurse because they'd had a conversation about it in the past and he really felt connected. So, like, look, every coach needs people they trust. And I think Bobby Jackson is someone who Doug trusts 100%. Like, they are very good friends. They have been for decades. They've golfed together. They were on coaching staffs together. They've remained close through the thick and the thin of all this stuff. Even when it was strange, when I started at NBC, Bobby and Doug switched off as the analyst. And so one game Bobby would be there, another game Doug would be there, and they would switch off back and forth. I just think that this is somebody that, you know, you don't want to surround Doug with every former Kings player known to man. But what you do need is for him to have at least one or two that he just feels really, really solid and comfortable with. And that's why I think Bobby's here, and I'm glad he's back. Family's here and stuff like that. So I'm excited to see him. And you know, I'm sure he's going to be out there with Serrano Country Club playing every single day from here on out.
To the best of your knowledge, James, what happened with the whole Sean Cunningham thing? Because obviously we've talked about it before. Sean just doesn't throw anything out there or whatever. We kind of maybe hypothesized that maybe talks had happened, but legally or per the rules, they hadn't got to that point yet as far as like getting permission from Nick Nurse and all that other stuff. So Bobby, that's where you get Bobby coming out saying, hey, I don't know what you're talking about. None of this has happened. But what do you think happened in that whole situation?
Okay, so just so you know, we reported it on the insiders before Sean put it out on Twitter. But the way I reported it, because I didn't have confirmation, was that like it was leaning towards that way, and there's a good chance that Bobby was coming back. Mm. Like 5 minutes later, Sean had it and put it out there on the Twitter box.
That's right.
So, like, look, I'm always going to back Sean. Sean doesn't make mistakes like that.
Yep.
Neither one of us are guys who put our names on something unless we know it to be true. And so, like, it was legit, but whether it was what you said, like working things out with Philly, having conversations with the 76ers and Nick Nurse and allowing Bobby to leave, or it's even possible that, hey, it just came down to money. Mm. And Bobby was negotiating a new salary to be an assistant coach. It's not, I think, so people know, this isn't like when you work at a grocery store and you start at like $8 an hour, and then after you work 600 hours, you get to like 847, and then like that's not the way assistant coaches work. It's just a wild, wild west. Like, assistant coaches get paid what they get paid, mm-hmm. and whatever you can, you know, get a team to pay you is what you're going to make. Mm-hmm. And so, I think for a guy like Bobby,
that's why assistant
part of it
coaching
could be that
salaries
too.
Are kept secret. That's why you don't see Bobby Jackson sign with Doug Christie for X amount of dollars. Because you don't want the other coaches to see what that assistant coach signed for.
Yeah, yeah. So I think that that's something that, you know, that's probably part of it as well. There's just negotiations. The deal wasn't done. Like, I checked in a couple of times and it wasn't done. Just like the Mike Woodson deal wasn't done until maybe 5 or 6 days after we initially heard that it was pretty much done.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty much done. And hey, we're hearing Mike Woodson's name being mentioned as a potential lead assistant for Doug Christie is not the same as, according to a league source, Mike Woodson has been hired as Doug Christie's lead assistant. Mm. It's just the verbiage is different, but it's also in reality the way it is. It's good to see Bobby back. And I know Michael Scotto from Hoops Hype put it out there yesterday, but like, I was taking the weekend off, but this morning I was able to confirm, it's happened. Bobby's back, and it's the deal's done.
Love it.
Good stuff.
Love it.
Good stuff. We have, now Mike Woodson in place. Obviously, Doug at the helm of all of this. It's an interesting stretch now, though, for Scott Perry, isn't it? Because we're well, I won't say well, we're a month and some change away from the start of the new league year. You've got the draft coming up. They do have a second round draft pick. I imagine the work that goes into a night where you're having a second round draft pick versus a first or a first and a second or multiple picks or whatever is a little bit different. What do you think Scott Perry and that front office are focusing on here for the next, I don't know, month and some change before the new league year starts?
Well, I think the first thing they wanted to do is restructure the front office. And that's a big undertaking. I mean, that's like a big, gigantic business by itself. And, you know, who runs what and how does this work and who's going to, you know, call around and see what, like preseason games we can come up with, like all that stuff. I do think that that's the first thing you do is you attack that part of it, is just like shoring up roles and figuring out like how you're going to build out your staff and all that stuff. We do know, you know, Alvin Gentry will be back. We do know Paul Johnson stuck around from what I know. And of course, BJ Armstrong was hired. And there might be one or two additional, you know, front office people. There could be another assistant GM. There could be, you know, like a salary cap guy. Like there can be all kinds of things that are still worked through. But last weekend was the NBA Combine. And so not this last one, we just passed a week before. So I think that, you know, they had a full-fledged, you know, group there watching. There was a player in the top, I want to say top 10, that met with the Kings, and I can't remember who it was. But that was according to somebody on Twitter that, you know, they listed the teams that a player had met with. And so like, look, they're doing their due diligence to interview as many players as possible. They're going to hopefully start doing a lot more of the player workouts here in Sacramento, where you bring in groups of six. We're going to see some of that. And you're also going to see Doug continue to build out his coaching staff. It's not just Woodson and Bobby Jackson, but Depeche Mystery is still around. I think Jimmy Alapeg is still around. And Leandro Barbosa, from what I know, is still around. So, like, there's still, you got to build out that staff. There's a lot of work to do. Like, you lose people during the summer, you know, whether it's training staff or medical staff or PR staff or anything else, you got a lot of work to do.
Going back to filling out that coaching staff with Doug Christie, is it, I don't want to say safe to say because we don't know, but it seems like the front of the bench is kind of taken care of with Mike Woodson, Bobby. I'm saying Leandro Barbosa might be on that front of the bench. And it's usually about three coaches, right? And then you start moving to the second row.
I can't remember if it was three or four. So if we go back to Mike's original staff, front of the bench was Jordy, Doug, Jay Triano. And why am I thinking there was one more? Maybe I'm wrong. So it might just be three on the front of the bench. And like Leandro may or may not be front of the bench. I don't know. But he was moved to the front of the bench last year, at the end of the season when he got back from he had surgery on a quad, and then he had a personal issue that took him out of the country for a little bit of time.
Okay. Are you expecting a active offseason for the Kings? Like, I mean, I know we work trades in our head. We come up with all of these different like ideas, these different. Do you think this is going to be a real busy 2 months for Sacramento and Scott Perry?
I think it is. Like, he understands, like the rest of us, that this roster isn't right. And it's difficult because at this point, like the trades that you made, the Kings have two starting jobs that I think have to be addressed. And, you know, if you have DeMar DeRozan back, that means one. But I don't think that that's like, in all honesty, I think that there's a high likelihood that they try to move on from DeMar during the summer. And so you've got that, and you've got a point guard position. And like, neither of those positions are are all that cheap to fill.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the Kings have a bunch of future draft capital and stuff like that. They've got some movable contracts, but for right now, like, they have to be aggressive. You know, I wouldn't be shocked that if on draft night that they do something like trade their second round pick and the Sasha Vezenkov trade exception that expires and try to land a $5 to $6 million player that they think can help them. On top of that, you know, the Kings still have other decisions to make. They've got to figure out the Keon Ellis situation. They've got to figure out the Keegan Murray situation. Now, those things could already be figured out, like, easily, especially if Keon is showing up at the NBA draft lottery. I'm pretty sure that's been figured out, or at least they have a game plan for what's about to happen there that will keep Keon in Sacramento long term. Maybe not, but I do think that there's a good possibility of it. And then the Keegan thing doesn't have to be done until late October, I believe. That's when the extension, rookie extensions are due. We'll have to see what they do. Like, if I'm the Kings, I'm not trying to move into the first round unless somehow you're moving way up in the first round. Like, if you're going to go up to number 10 or number 8, and I don't even know how that would happen. So, like, just looking at whether, you know, let's say want to give up a bunch of draft capital, and I'm not giving up draft capital for this draft to move up, unless, you know, you get way up high. And I don't think the Kings have that in their bag. So, like, a early second round pick, or I think they're around number 12 in the second round, they've got the Bulls pick. You know, could you move up into the upper second round? I mean, like the 33, 34, 35 in the second round and maybe get a better player. That's possible. But at the same time, the Kings just don't have a bunch of future seconds to squander in this deal. And you don't want to have first round picks if you're the Kings. You don't want to move from, like, where you're at 42 to like 27. That doesn't help you, because 27 now comes with a guaranteed contract. And it's a guaranteed, like, 3-year deal with a 4th-year team option, or 2-year deal with 2 option years. An early second round pick is more valuable to me than a late first round pick, because if you draft a guy and he's not very good, you don't have to keep him. You can just get rid of him. And that's not the case with first round picks. It's a little more complicated.
I can dig it. Hey, real quick, before we get out of here, got to handle some business. The Prize Picks lineup is ready to go. We're going all baseball, all Giants, all A's today. Bobby Witt Jr., 1.5 total bases. We got that. We're going with the first inning runs allowed for the A's and Angels. I went under half a run, and I thought I was doing the same thing for the Giants game, when in actuality, it was first inning walks allowed. So I went under on that as well. Hopefully Robbie Ray has control and we can handle that one. And then Lawrence Butler. Half a hit. Come on, man. Come on, Lawrence. Let's do work. Let's do work today, man. So, must be present in certain states. Make sure you put that promo code KIFM to get $50 instantly with your first $5 lineup. That's promo code KIFM to get $50 instantly with your first $5 lineup. Like I said, you must be present in certain states. Go to prizepicks.com for more details. Prize Picks. Run the game.
Let me now before No. Before you mark anything down for Adam L.
Yeah.
Let me tell you, that was free.
What?
Those aren't scheduled this week.
Yeah, I didn't hit any bubbles.
So that was an unsanctioned. That was an unsanctioned matchup.
Well, it still goes to Adam L.
ECW, are you doing?
And it didn't even. It didn't even include Jacob Wilson, who came on the show today.
That's right,
Jacob Wilson.
I thought about. Yeah, I thought about going with Jacob, because Jacob hits. You always get Jacob Wilson involved in that one. So I thought about it, but Adam L.
I want to be clear. That was an unsanctioned matchup.
It's unofficial. It's unsanctioned. But you got the W. You're on the board. First win.
One day Kenny's going to trust me to lead this show.
Maybe this is the in-season tournament of it.
Maybe. This is an in-season tournament.
This is the play-in, because it doesn't go towards anything.
No, David Jackson is right. Run your spot. big thanks to James, as always. We're headed over to 102.5 if you want to join us. If not, we'll see you tomorrow beginning at 10 a.m. with James and Kyle and the Insiders on Sacramento Sports Leader, ESPN 1320.
Vamos, Gigantes!
What kind of programs does this school have?
How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going, whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Knicks Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Knicks, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Knicks Menswear, your friend in style.